Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Roundtable Sports Podcast. I am your host, John Newman, and I don't have anybody with me today. We're just going to be talking a little bit about MMA and what's been up lately with the podcast, with the show, and with what I've been doing outside of the show, and how it is involved in the community and sports and things that we try to promote through the podcast. Nothing official, anything like that, but just this summertime, it's time people get up, people get active, and really get out there now that there's no less restrictions in most places, and just getting good physical health again. That's what I gotta say. Obviously, no sponsors or anything, so I'm not going to say which gym I go to or whatever, but getting active and doing things like that, filming some rec league games for a friend of mine as well. That's what I've been doing outside of this podcast, but yeah, and I've kind of made it, well, now that I have weekends off again with my schedule, watching the UFC fights is just, it's the new family tradition. No matter what I'm doing, I'll always be thinking about on Saturday night, the UFC. And this weekend, we don't have a fight card, so I don't have to do any predictions or anything like that. Kind of just talk about what happened last weekend. Carla Esparza getting the knockout, maybe gives her a chance to fight Rose Namajunas for the title, which I think would be a good matchup. Rose is just really diverse in her game. Let's get into it. What does a fight between Carla Esparza and Rose Namajunas look like? I think, you know, Carla's takedowns and the lay and pray style versus a diverse fighter like Rose Namajunas, she's just bound to get caught either via submission, because she likes to lay and pray and not really do much advancing or passing the guard. It's kind of a lazy, kind of a lazy habit. Like, she has a lot of lazy habits that Rose is very good at exploiting. You know, her jiu-jitsu game is, I mean, people, I saw it live, her drop Michelle Watterson and then put on that, the arm bar. That was ridiculous, you know. This is just, she's done some crazy things, like the Angela Hill jumping her back and getting that choke. So her submission game is so good, but then you look at them in the stand-up, Rose Namajunas is just head and shoulders better, and she's better, you know, on the cards as well, you know, on the tail of the tape. She just, you know, looks better. But anything could happen when the cage door closes, and Carla Esparza has earned her shot. I mean, she's on a 5-fight heater. She had 2 split decisions, 1 majority decision, 1 unanimous decision, and then the TKO last Saturday. So, I mean, she's in peak shape. I think Rose is in peak shape, and that's a fight that, you know, expect an announcement on, or expect that to be in the works here coming up pretty soon. Now, this is officially in the works from ESPN, from Brett Okamoto. Max Holloway versus Yair Rodriguez at some point this summer. Same 2 questions I have about that fight I did about the last fight here. Why does that fight make sense, and what does it look like? I'd say why the fight makes sense, and This is why the last fight made sense too. It's just all in the rankings, and if you know, you know. Max Holloway is in a position where he's already fought the champion twice, and Alexander Volkanovski. Both of them were so close and so tough that it's just like a almost certainty that if he can win one more fight, he's going to get a third shot, and that usually doesn't not happen. But he is a former champion of the same division. I really see Max Holloway, you know, getting a win and getting a third fight off of this. But that, I guess that's my prediction. But why that makes sense for Yair, obviously, Max Holloway is one of the best. Blessed is one of the best in the world. You fight him, you're going to get a... The way I see it, I'm not going to write off Yair Rodriguez at all there. I just won't write him off in that fight because, you know, I know Max has pretty much every aspect of the fight in his game and in his style, but Yair will want to box, and that will likely make for just a fun Max Holloway showcasing. Either a fun Max Holloway showcasing or Max gets caught by Yair and... That's the game. For other things in the UFC, we'll get back to it. But I saw on Twitter yesterday there was some golfers fighting, Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. I'll just move past it because I know like not any of the MMA people. Some of you guys are probably golf fans. The degenerate bettors are probably probably got some skrill on golf, but. I think it's kind of funny that this Bryson DeChambeau dude is like kind of a Stanford graduate nerd that just like bulked up and now he's just freaking swinging golf clubs like they're just, I don't even know. But anyways, Brooks Koepka and him having some feuds, golfers getting in fights. We saw Chael and John Jones are back at it again. I got a statement on that. I'm no longer a John Jones fan. I'm a fan of watching him fight. Brendan Schaub is going to be announcing little Floyd Mayweather Jr. Boxing the ribs and ears off of Jake Paul's goofy head and body there. Matt Hughes is making a huge recovery after this train accident that happened a few years back. So shout out to Matt Hughes. Kind of really scary. When I was reading it, it just like makes you realize how precious things are. Don't take for granted, you know, the fact that there is, you know, a stop sign in front of the train tracks where you are, because where he was, it's not really like that. It was kind of a backwoods little train track, and he got hit by the train. And anyways, it's nice to see him making a recovery in speech and physically and just to be there cognitively. It's awesome to see. He said therapy has really helped him. With the physical stuff and just, you know, Matt Hughes has always been, you know, that humble kind of side. We've always seen kind of a humble side of Matt Hughes. So probably just being around people he loves and that helped him make his recovery. So awesome to hear that. Former De La Hoya and Golden Boy promoter Rick Schaefer is taking over John Jones' management in what I call a good move from John. Paul Felder, the Boston Irish Dragon, is hanging them up officially. That was an announcement from Saturday. Dana White has opened up. He said he's a phone call away for Diego Sanchez. So he's open. It sounds like he's open to repairing relations between UFC and Diego, because nobody wants to sell a disgruntled, you know, he's in those DVDs. He's in the, you know, the tapes of the shows and everything. Nobody wants to have a disgruntled former, employee. It's just not something that's good to have. So nice to see Dana reach back out, and hopefully things get smoothed over there. Rory Mack over in the PFL, we're gonna let him talk his shit. It's good for the sport, and still points the finger saying the big show is the UFC, so cry about it, wah wah wah. Bellator champion, former champion Michael Venom Page says he needs to touch the UFC basically to solidify some things in his career. Definitely a can crusher, who my guy Ross Houston gave some tough rounds to last year, but ultimately he still got his butt whooped. Anyways, he's got his hat back on and chart on in the Bellator rankings. But what Venom Page said, it speaks volumes. It speaks volumes. Rory McDonald still, talking his shit. Then Bellator's Michael Venom Page saying that the UFC would be, definitely something that he would go to. He would go to the UFC if given the opportunity. This past weekend, Bellator had their pay-per-view as well. Valerie Lareda was pretty much the draw for me. You know, I watched her on Instagram in these interviews and things all week. She seemed very comfortable and ready to fight. But ended up losing by decision, and she tore some arm ligaments, and it's going to be interesting to see, as she's kind of a star before MMA fans even get to know her and know her style. She's a beautiful personality in person, 22 years old, has a bright future ahead of her. The show in Bellator, they've got some good fighters over there, but they're not the UFC still. But that's less of an argument, less of a debate, because it's just, good fighting. Good fighting is good fighting. I don't discriminate, but I do have the brand bias towards the UFC just because it's the total package, over in WWE, former mixed martial artist, former professional wrestler, then mixed martial artist, then back to pro wrestling, Bobby Lashley out of Junction City, Kansas, just down I-70 a ways. He's got a little segment going on, and he's bringing in some real fitness models and some real fighters, a real fighter, and Jessica Borga from Bellator. I didn't watch, so I don't know how that went, but I know they're bringing the live show to my town again, so I might start watching a little bit of that pro wrestling just to see if there's anything, halfway decent or interesting to look at on there. And I don't have anything more on my docket. I bet on the Royals a few nights back, if you guys have noticed. I'm a 1-0 baseball bettor. Yep. More than $15 profit. Yep. free play money used and converted to real money. Yep. So, I'm flying pretty high on the what to do next with the podcast and with the show. It's just going to be kind of the one man show until I get my shit set. And, I kind of found the best way I can record this by myself here. I really like the setup I got here too for this little mini studio room that I got going on as a one man show. But time is a ticking on finding some permanency in this podcast. And if you guys could just go ahead and share this podcast out there on social media if you enjoyed it. I'll be uploading this one to Anchor FM. They'll be publishing for me. And if you guys could just get this show out to whoever. Trying to get my ad rolled up to $10 so I can just cash that out and I can link my bank to my podcast. So I just need plays. I don't need anything except for plays. Thank you guys for listening. This has been John Newman with Roundtable Sports. Peace.